Disciples of Christ, Aiken, South Carolina. We are the loving church with Jesus at heart. I do not see any visitors.
Yes, we have one.
Yes, we do. Oh, I didn't see. I didn't even see you all the way. That must be a friend or a relative of Ernestine.
I'm a friend of Ernestine, and I've been here before.
Okay, but okay. What's your name?
Liz Allen.
Okay, Liz. I'm sure Caroline told you what to fill out.
She already filled it out.
Okay. All right. Announcements. DWF will meet on Saturday, February 1st, 10 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Just a reminder that you have 3 more weeks to add your donation for blessings to your blessing box. We hope your life has been full of blessings, both seen and unseen. The boxes will be collected on Sunday, February 16th. Thank you for your help in this regard, and the little boxes, I don't have a sample of them, but they're in Fellowship Hall on the counter and out in the office. Next week is the Super Bowl of Caring. All the money raised will go to Golden Harvest Food Bank, and we're going to be passing these around during the service. So please contribute as you want, and they will also be out in Fellowship Hall for you to. Family Promise will be meeting at our church on January 28th, beginning at 6:30 and ending at 8. Everyone is welcome to attend. We will have a spaghetti and movie night on Friday, this Friday, January 31st. Okay, hold on. At 5:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. There are sign-up sheets in the Northwest and Fellowship Hall, and Paul can't wait. Go ahead, Paul. Do we need to bring Parmesan cheese?
Well, that's on. I follow that.
Okay. And the movie is?
What?
The movie is?
The movie is a sequel to the first one we had. It should be very good. Ben is not here.
God's not dead too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paul. Okay, our next carry-in is on February 9th. There's a sign-up in the Northrex for those who would like to help. We need 2 more February readers of scriptures. Please sign up. Any other announcements? If not, let's stand as we are able for the call to worship. Blessings to God who gives hope in the darkness of our lives.
Blessings to Jesus Christ, who reveals God's love unto the world.
Blessings to the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to be a light for others.
Blessings, honor, and glory to God, today and forever. Amen.
Please remain standing for our opening hymn, number 261, Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for bringing us each safely to this place to worship you. Help us to feel your spirit as you engage us and as you enlighten us. Hear us now as we pray to you as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we will continue our praise singing as we sing hymn number 115. There's something about that name. You may remain seated as we sing. Come now to sharing our joys and our concerns. On the prayer card, we have Barbara McKnight. We have all of us. We have Shin Boning and the Chinese community. And then we have Paula Jones, who we just got word is not feeling well. So are there other joys or concerns that you'd like to share? We will, at the end of the service, Wanda has another visit to Emory, and so the elders will come forth at the end of the service, and we will have prayer for Wanda at that time. But I wanted to mention that now as well. Okay, we've got quite a few out today, so I hope that bug's not going around. Okay, let's pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks again for this day. We thank you for each of us gathered here to worship you, and we ask your blessings on each of us. We all come with our own concerns, our joys, the heartaches and the burdens that we carry, and the blessings that we receive from you. And we ask your blessings and your guidance on all of that. Dear God, we pray for Paula, and for others in our congregation who are sick, we ask your healing grace and healing mercy with them. We pray for Shen and the Chinese community, both in China and around the world. We pray for others affected by this virus. We pray that you will intervene and allow healing to take place and sooner rather than later. Dear God, we pray for Barbara. We pray for Mary. We pray for the family of Luann Lewis, for Marianne Takahashi, for Jensen Boulay, for Wes Bomber, for Carol Kettle, for Jameson, for Joni, for Barbara, for Jan, for Daniel, for Susan, for Greg, for Demoris, and for the people in Australia still dealing with fires, for people around the world dealing with natural disasters this week, earthquakes and fires and storms, for Chuck and Ida, and for Sally and Eliza, for Linda and for Wanda and Connie and all those in our congregation. To God, we also pray for our world, for our nation, that we may be good citizens in all that we do, that we may be your people. God, we pray for us as we put money and remembrances in our blessing box so that we can share our blessings with others. We ask also for your forgiveness for our sins, for where we fail you, where we fail each other. We pray for traveling mercies for Jim and for Judy and for Eric and for Liz and for all who travel. Dear God, be with us now and bless us and hold us in your tender care. And now you're invited to come and partake at the Lord's Supper as we share in this meal of remembrance, a meal of grace, and a meal of forgiveness. Our communion hymn is 386, We Come as Guests Invited. Please stand if you are able and sing, even if you're seated, if you cannot. 386, We Come as Guests Invited. You may be seated. That song invites us to what we're about to partake and reminds us of each of the parts of it. And we're reminded also that the Lord Jesus was with his disciples on the night before he died. And he was with them and he gave thanks for the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body that will be broken for you.
Let us pray for the bread. Heavenly Father, as we gather here at your table to participate in Holy Communion, let us remember that this bread represents your Son's broken body, that he gave up so that our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Help us to live out each and every day of our lives to give meaning to that great sacrifice. We accept now your covenant of love as our gift to receive and our responsibility to share. Amen.
The body of Christ broken for you. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks to it and told them, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood that will be shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Each time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my life, my death, until I come."
Heavenly Father, as we take this cup, the cup symbolizing the blood of Christ that was shed for us in the remission of our sins, let us nourish our body and our mind with this cup, that we become humble as servants for you and your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Blood of Christ shed for you. Now we have the opportunity and the joy to worship God through our giving. Gracious God, we offer these gifts to you. Ask that you receive them with your blessing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand if you're able and join in the singing of the doxology. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Genesis 18, verses 1 through 15, found in your pew Bible on page 16. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water he brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to my servant, to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared, and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Caroline. There's a hymn that many of you know.
Now I'm on. There's a hymn that many of you know. It's called "I Love to Tell the Story." It's on page 480 in our hymnal. And the third stanza says, I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. There's a lot I love about that hymn. The importance of familiar stories, the tie between the old and the new that we're writing every day as people of faith. Stories are very important. The Bible is full of them. So I've decided to take a little liberty from the lectionary and take myself a break. And from now till Lent, we've got 5 Sundays, including today, we're going to do a story series where we're looking at very familiar stories of the Bible. We're going to do 3 stories from the Old Testament, the story today of Abraham and Sarah, the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and the story of Balaam and his talking donkey. Then woven in between those, we're going to do 2 stories from the New Testament. Next week, we'll look at the feeding of the 5,000, and then after that will be the healing at the pool of Bethesda. So if the hymn is called Tell Me the Story of Jesus, why am I starting in the Old Testament? Well, we need to know the Old Testament for one thing, because Jesus didn't just come out of nowhere. Jesus was part of a much larger story. So today we start with Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was the father of the Hebrew nation. If you go to Matthew and look at the very Matthew 1:1, it says, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then in Hebrews, where they have the faith chapter, when it talks about all these things that people did by faith, Hebrews 12, says, verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And then verse 11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who had made the promise. And from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. So when we hear Abraham, we think of this wonderful man that is written all through Scripture. And a lot of times when we have people that are people of faith that we admire, we put them up on some pedestal and think, they are just perfect. And Abraham was not perfect. So today we look at the larger story of Abraham and of Sarah, which if you go through Genesis and read the whole story, which I invite you to do, you will find it very, very interesting. It begins with Abram. He was Abram at the beginning, and it begins in Genesis 12, verse 1, when we're told that God called him to leave his home and go. He went. Took Sarah, whose name was Sarai at the time, and went. Didn't know where they were going, but they were following God's word. Later, a famine came at where they were, so they had to move again and move into Egypt. And Abraham got so afraid of what was going on, and that Sarah must have been a beautiful, beautiful woman. And he decided that because she was so beautiful, that they wanted her, and they would kill him and take her. So he said, you know what? Pretend you're my sister. They will take you and treat me good. So he gave her as his sister to Pharaoh. Now, what in the world would that mean? Well, I don't even want to know what that means. And luckily, it means different things to different people. And in Bill Moyer's book about Genesis, he has different people from different faiths talking about this story. And several of them say, well, you know, he gave him, she lived as his wife until God spoke to Pharaoh and said, you know, that's a married woman. That belongs to that man out there, Abraham. And Pharaoh's like, ooh, you didn't tell me that she was your wife. Now, and other people that study the scripture say, you know what, I think, you know, they want to keep Sarah and Abraham in the good column. So they said, surely nothing happened, and surely God intervened before anything happened and told Pharaoh. Well, you know, I don't really care what happened between Pharaoh and Sarah. What bothers me is that Abraham gave her away. That's his, I love Ed, but I don't think if he ever tried to give me away, that I would let him get a buyer. He wouldn't have to worry about the Egyptians killing him. So we see Abraham in a totally different light. But one of the men in the that was in part of the Genesis myth, the Bill Moyer special, he said, you know, I'm not happy that Abraham did that. He said, but what I am happy about is that it made it into Scripture. We get to see Abraham and Sarah as they are. And they had human flaws, just like you and I have human flaws. So, and in Matthew, what I just said about David and Abraham are the two listed as the genealogy of Jesus. And David has his own problems. So what gives me comfort is that God works through human beings with us staying human beings. We can't mess up the plan if we're following God's plan. Doesn't mean we're perfect in every moment, but it means that God's will can be done through us. Now, Sarah had her own issues, which I loved because some of her issues are my issues. And Sarah was she might have been beautiful, but later on, she had to deal with her own barrenness. She could not provide her husband with a child. And in that day, God had already promised them that he was going to be the father of his nation, and there were no children. So if you remember, she had a handmaiden named Hagar who she gave to Abraham, and she gave him to Abraham in the sense that we didn't want Sarah to be given to Pharaoh. And Hagar had a child, a son named Ishmael. Well, Sarah became so jealous. I get that. You know, jealousy is a human emotion, and if you haven't ever felt it, then you're missing out on something. But jealousy will turn you into somebody that you weren't meant to be. And jealousy got the best of Sarah, and she did not want to see Ishmael, and she did not want to see Hagar, and so she had them banned, had them kicked out. And yet, even God said to Hagar and to Ishmael, "My promise to you is still my promise." You know, there is so much comfort in those stories that we can do, we can be jealous and we can be whatever, and that God can still work with us. And then we have the story that Caroline read. I love this story. I've never had children of my own. I've never birthed them. And so Sarah's story always touched me because to me, I could not think, back in my day, I couldn't think of anything better than being pregnant. I think that would be one of the biggest joys of the world. And I love, even now, to look at pregnant women and think, you are one lucky woman. But you know, I am 68 years old. I'm not 90 like Sarah. I've got 3 children. I've got 4 grandchildren, and I hate to tell you, but if the angel came to me and told me now, I wouldn't laugh. I would cuss. and then when I got my senses about me, I'd probably cuss some more in between crying. How Sarah had the ability to laugh amazes me, but she did. Because, and I want to read to you from the Message version, when Sarah said, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Me have a baby, an old woman like me?' that you can just, Abraham was supposedly 100 and Sarah was 90, it would make sense that they would be filled with disbelief. And yet, they had the baby. But before he gave that news, these three, I got a little ahead of myself, the strangers that came, two of them were angels and one was the Lord himself. But Abraham didn't know that. Abraham saw what looked like human beings coming, human beings that he did not know. So what he did was he was very hospitable. He called out to them. And then in true husband fashion, he went to Sarah and said, make them something to eat. So they worked at it together. But Sarah didn't come and meet with them. She stayed in the tent. You know, when you entertain strangers, we get visitors from time to time that none of us have ever met. You never know who that person is, if they're who they look like, or if they're God using humans to be angels again. Or we might entertain somebody that we know very well. And I read, as I was studying for this, I read a line that said, when we are hospitable, when we open ourselves up to other people, we open ourselves up to a chance of meeting the divine. I mean, it's nice to have friends anyway, but when you think about that and think about the encounters that you have had that started out regular, and after the fact you think, wow, there was something very special about that. So Sarah and Abraham finally get this dream come true. Now, I really feel for Sarah because this is something she wanted all her life. This is something she had to watch another woman do for her husband that she could not do. And, you know, at 90 years old, there's a part in the life process where we go about putting our life in order. We make peace with what didn't happen. We make peace with what happened that we didn't want to happen. But there's a peacemaking that comes as we near the end of life where we give up some of our dreams and say, you know, that was something I really wanted, but it's not going to happen. And maybe God had another plan. So Sarah could have been going through that. And then all of a sudden, he comes in and tells her that she's going to have a baby. I would love to talk to her about that and say, after you quit laughing, did you cry? Did you say, why now? Why, how am I going to raise a child when I'm 90 years old? But she was glad, I think, eventually, because if you move to Genesis 21, it says, God visited Sarah exactly as he said he would. God did to Sarah what he promised. Sarah became pregnant and gave Abraham a son in his old age at the very time God had set. And Sarah said, God has blessed me with laughter, and all who get the news will laugh with me. And then she said, whoever would have suggested to Abraham that Sarah would one day nurse a baby, yet here I am. I've given the old man a son. When we face our disbelief and become believers in the power of God, because what the angel said to them was, nothing is impossible with God. And that's a big nothing right there. They had to overcome a lot for them to have a baby. Maybe adopt one, yes, but no, she had the baby. But you know, barrenness doesn't just come in not being able to birth a child. Barrenness comes and not being able to do something that you really want to do. It might even come with something that you used to do that you can't do now. What does that mean? I think for us, this story has three important meanings. And I want to talk about the word immigrant, but I'm not using it in a political way at all. I'm inviting you to look at being an immigrant as a theological word. God said to Abram when he was Abram, go, leave your home and go. The choir just sang a very beautiful song, and the first verse was, will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? That's becoming an immigrant. That is leaving home and moving to a place that is not home. Now, a lot of you are not from Aiken. You got here somehow. And if you look back in your life, and how did God get you to say, to move, to go, go? Some of you are from Aiken, and yet you're here and you're in a different space than you were. When God calls us to go, sometimes it's from our home to another home. Sometimes it's from the unfamiliar to from the familiar to the unfamiliar. And sometimes, like when the angel came to Mary and Joseph and said, you've got to move to Egypt. You've got to go be an immigrant because it's not safe. Sometimes God moves us from unsafe to safety. What I want you to think of about it as theological is that God's call almost always is borderless. God wants us to move where God says, not where we say, but this is where I live. The second thing in this story is facing our own disbelief. The things that we have given up on happening because we just didn't think they were going to come. You know, all of us have heard of Grandma Moses. Her name was Anna. Her first name was Anna. She didn't start painting till she was 78 years old. She lived to 101. She wasn't finished at 78. She took it and went with it. What I chose this story for today was, one, it was the beginning of the genealogy of Jesus. But more importantly, we're an older congregation. We got more people in the older category than in the younger category. This is an old person's story. This is God saying to you, as long as you're on this earth, I'm with you, and I may call you. And I may call you and ask you to do something that is so ludicrous that your first response is that you will laugh. Laughing with God is okay if we say yes when we quit laughing. Let us pray. To God, we give you thanks for stories of people who are older than we are and yet you have done miracles in their lives. Dear God, we offer to you our own barrenness, our own hesitancy to believe that things that we thought were impossible could be possible. And we also offer to you our willingness to say yes when you offer us an invitation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our invitation hymn today is Softly and Tenderly, and it is 340. Please stand if you are able. Thank you. invite Wanda and Jerry to come up and the elders to come up, and the rest of you may be seated. Wanda's been one of the most tenacious women I know, going after something that's important to her, and it takes a lot of courage and strength to do that. And Wanda, we know that the Bible tells us that if anybody is sick among us, to come and let the elders pray for them, anoint them with oil. And it's our belief as a congregation as well. We've done this with you before, and we want to do it again today, okay? Because we know you won't be here next Sunday, and then you go on the 3rd to Emory. And they didn't give you the results you wanted last time, and I know you've got some hardship right now trying to figure out what to do next. But we're going to pray for you about that, okay? Okay. Wanda, I anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're going to put our hands on you and pray together as elders. Dear God, we pray for our sister Wanda and for Jerry. Dear God, you know the journey that they have been on and the disappointments that she has faced along the way. And yet she has not given up. She has not given up praying. She's not given up seeking medical help. We ask you to be with them as they go to Emory next week. Help them to be able to get some clarity, whether it be the answer that she wants to hear or the answer not. Give her a way to hear you and make the decisions that she needs to make to be your follower and your disciple. Amen. And as y'all, if they leave, y'all can all speak your blessings to them as we all leave. And if you'll stand now, our going forth song is 354, Seek Ye First.